Good morning, my dear friends and saints, the beloved of the Lord. Welcome to another session today. And today, I feel like I've been given a mission. I guess I feel that way most of the time, but today it's been especially strong. And what we're going to be talking about today, although many of you have probably looked at the notes already, is the devil's worst nightmare. So I've given you the answer in the notes. But before we do that, let's pray as we get started this morning, and then I want to review briefly what we talked about last week. Father, we thank you for your word, and I thank you today that we have the Holy Spirit to teach us that we are not limited by my knowledge, but we have the greater one dwelling in us, and we look to him to teach us today, each of us separately, those things that we need in order to walk more completely in that you've called us to do, and to fulfill your plans in our life. Father, I thank you for your love. Jesus, I thank you for the work of the cross and your willingness to be obedient. And it's my heart to be obedient just as you were, so that we can see the things that you did manifest in our lives today, just as you said they would. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. We have been on this series, Power That Makes Possible, and this is our fourth session today. And we really began talking about, is anything too difficult for the Lord? We looked in Genesis 18 at an account where the Lord came down and was basically telling Sarah that this time next year, when I come back, you're going to have a child. And she laughed, and the discourse went on to where the Lord himself asked, is there anything too difficult? And what he's saying is, for me, for my father. And we know the answer to that is absolutely nothing. Now, it's not just something that could be too difficult. What that really is telling us, and we see this tie in this one verse, it's tying his word to his power, and both of them will not fail. Because the Hebrew word for anything there, as you may remember, is debar, which literally means a spoken word, a word. So what do we see? The Lord is saying, there is nothing too difficult for me. We see that in several other scriptures as well. We've also kind of anchored ourselves in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5, where Paul says, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, and I would say man's wisdom. And he's not just trying to convince you of what God says, but he goes on to say that they were in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So again, we see words, preaching, proclaiming, teaching, tied to a manifestation of power. And then in verse 5 is the one we've really been anchored in. And in that verse, it says that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on what? On the power of God. Now think about that. He wants us to have faith in his power. Because everything he says, everything he promises us, he will bring it to completion. And, you know, that's why God can't lie, because everything he says will come true. That also should be a hint to us, a strong hint, that we want to be careful with our words, because we're beginning to see our words carry weight, both things that we wish we hadn't said and things that we have said. And so last week we talked about God's power in a man, and you know that man was Jesus. It wasn't talking about all of us. And we talked first about the fact that we need to be convinced that the Holy Spirit that he promised to give to us is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's not a power that has waned that the Holy Spirit carries. We looked and saw that in Genesis 2 where it said God rested, that he didn't rest because he was tired from doing something, from all the effort he'd exerted to create the earth and man. But all the good things that he created, he was finished with them. So it was more like, I've completed it, and I'm just stepping down and not doing any more. And that reminds us of what Jesus has done on the cross, where he said, it is finished. There's nothing else we can look for him to do. We don't need to ask him to heal us. That healing has already been provided. And then we saw where our Lord doesn't sleep. And we know these verses, but this one just really speaks to me the more I meditate on it. He who keeps you, and that word keeps I have underlined in my Bible and even on these notes. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel. So we could say today, where Israel is a type of the church, behold, he who keeps his body, the body of Christ, will not slumber nor sleep. And I like what God's word says. Indeed, the guardian of Israel never rests or sleeps. And that reminds me of 1 Peter 1:5, which says, I am kept by the power of God through faith. And it's through faith that he gave us. So everything we need, he's providing to walk in this walk that we're seeing that Jesus walked in. And then we talked about the Lord not ever being weary, looking at Isaiah 40, the last couple of verses, that the Lord, the creator of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding, in other words, his words, is inscrutable. And then it says, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So not only does he not lose or get tired from exerting his power, he has so much that he's willing to give it to you or I. And so when the Lord says of himself, like he does in Malachi, for I am the Lord, I change not. And also in Psalm, the counsel, my thoughts and my words stand forever. We see that the same ought to be true today. And it not only ought to be, it is true today. If we would just believe it, we would see it come to pass. His words are true no matter what we think. And then we talked about Jesus, and we looked at Acts 10:38 to really start this discussion, where the Lord anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and then Jesus went about and began to do the works. And I asked you the question, why did the Lord anoint him? He was the Son of God. He came from heaven. And the answer is simple, because he needed it, just like you and I do today. Because he laid aside that power we saw in Philippians. And, you know, let me just mention, not only did he lay aside all that power, he had to study as a young man to learn about himself, to find himself in the Word in order to fulfill what he was to do, which included being anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And we looked at several examples of Jesus exerting power in Luke 4, where he cast out demons with authority and power. He rebuked a fever, and he healed all in one account. And it said the demons recognized him. And we asked the questions, what did they recognize? They saw that same anointing on him that they'd seen in heaven before they were kicked out. And they will recognize that even today. And then we talked about Luke 5, where the power was always present with him. And in this case, it was present for healing. And Jesus actually made the statement, but from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. He just equated God's power with him, with the Lord, the Father himself. He didn't separate it out. That's who he is. And we closed last week, really getting ready for this week in a transition, looking at Psalm 110, verse 3. And this is a question we're going to be asking ourselves today. That verse in the New King James reads this way, your people, and it's talking about Jesus here, shall be volunteers in the day of your power. And that leads us then to today, to which the Lord gave me the title, the devil's worst nightmare. So what is the devil's worst nightmare? Well, I'll tell you, it is believers, just like you and me, with his anointing, an anointing just like Jesus. And the best part about it, and what it must be, is that we must know it. And that's my mission, I believe, today. We're just going to go through the Word of God and lay this out so that our faith increases, in not only in his power, but the ultimate is to understand that we too are the anointed of the Lord, and we can have faith in his power. It's not faith in my power. It's not faith in a power. It's faith in his power operating in and through me. So we as Christians today ought to be the devil's worst nightmare. But to do that, we've got to know what is ours, and we've got to have this correct identity in Jesus, in Christ. We've also got to be those who willingly follow and are being obedient to him. and are looking to do his works. And so I wrote down in my notes, and I think I'll just get you to confess this with me. I wrote a confession, but I love these words right here. We are the devil's worst nightmare. So say that with me. We are the devil's worst nightmare. He couldn't stop Jesus, and he can't stop me. He couldn't stop Jesus, and he cannot stop us. And then the confession that I wrote was this. So let me just read it. And those of you who have notes have it, but I'll pause to let others say it with us. And again, it starts with, I am the devil's worst nightmare. He has no answer to the anointing or to God's word. I am willing in the day of my Lord's power. It is time for my light to shine. Now, all those things that we're talking about are going to be things, each of those phrases are phrases that we're going to be seeing scriptures that tells us how this happened. And thank God that he's the one who has shown this light in our heart. Go with me to start this to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to read to you some verses in the model prayer because I want us to just start this with an understanding that this is the way Jesus told us to pray, and then the role that we're going to be playing in the kingdom. It starts off, as Jesus says in verse 9, pray in this way or in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we start with praise and worship. And then these are two key phrases. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I've told you before, in essence, we could say, kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done, just as they are in heaven. And then it says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then this closing, and I want to just focus on it too, because there are some key words in here. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said the work is complete. He's coming back to take his church home. But in the meantime, how is this power, as we say, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, how is it going to be shown and manifested in the earth today like it was with Jesus without us? And it's not. There is no plan B. He has selected you and I in to be ambassadors in his kingdom to bring the word of heaven. And I'm going to add this, and the power of heaven, that word and power of reconciliation to all men. So again, that just ties right in with your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. So the question for you and I today is, are we ready? Are we willing to take that step of faith and begin to act in that manner? So now I want to begin to talk about I am anointed. But I need to ask this question. Do you see yourself? Do you believe that you are anointed? And then you're going to have to answer, if you answer that yes, which I trust you will at least by the end of the day, you're going to also have to answer the question then, am I ready to volunteer? Because we're going to see we can frustrate or nullify the grace of God if we're not careful. So let's go to Colossians, the 1st chapter, and we're going to start in verse 9. Now, Paul is praying a prayer here that starts really back in verse 3, and he's giving thanks for these people because of all he's heard that they've done, because they've heard the truth of the word. And he talks about they are constantly bearing fruit and increasing in it. So let's start for our part here in verse 9. It says, for this reason, he's continuing the prayer, since the day we've heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now, this is a key phrase that we want to begin to look at in this verse. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So, filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his desire for us to know the fullness of the Spirit that we've been given. I'm getting ahead of myself. But he said he wants us to know the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we're not talking about anything earthly here. We're not talking about my natural abilities. We are talking about we need to understand the fullness of the knowledge of his will for you and I, who we are in him, and what he's got for us here on this earth. This is the way Jesus operated. This is why he studied the Torah to find himself, and why he could stand up in Luke 4 and say, the Spirit of the Lord has what? Anointed me. And that's why he could also say, I only do what I see the Father do and what I hear him. I only say what I hear him say. And we can be that same way. And then it says, so that you, talking to believers, filled with the Spirit, not the unsaved. They have to be born again for this to apply to them. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him, and in all respects bearing fruit in every good word and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, to bear fruit in every good work, which is what it said Jesus did. He went about doing good and healing. Do we need the power? And I can say unequivocally yes, because I know in and of myself, I can do nothing. We need that anointing, which is where that power comes. And we also need to continue to increase in the knowledge of God in the use with what he's got for us individually as well as corporately. We need to just continue to increase in the knowledge of him and his plan, his will that we just prayed about, saw here that Paul is praying in our lives so that we can serve him as he's called us. And then we get to verse 11, which gets exciting. It says that we're to be strengthened with all power. Wow. All power. And then it says, according to his glorious might. Now, let me just talk about that word might there. That word might is the Greek word kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. It's in your notes just down a little bit. But it means dominion, it means might, it means power, it means strength. And it also means something that is to be seen, to be demonstrated, something that's to manifest. It's like it manifests so strong also, like what happened to the soldiers. When the power of God came and raised Jesus from the dead, it said they were as dead men. That's the kind of mighty power. We can't equate it with dunamis that he's placing in you and I. Now, it's interesting here because he goes on to say he wants us to be strengthened with all this power, with his glorious might, for attaining of all steadfastness and patience. That's not the only, this is what we must have in order to operate in his power. We can't be impatient people and operate in his power. We got to know exactly what we're doing, how we're to do it, and then we step back and watch him work. If we get impatient, then we what? Try to get into me doing something. And you'll see that even magnified here in a couple of weeks. And then verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father. So we always want to be thankful with it, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And the part of this I want to focus on is in light. Because what did the Father say about light? That's what he created when he said light be. And it was his what? His power, his glory, and everything good, because he said it was good. That's why he separated it from the darkness back in Genesis, the second chapter. And then verse 13, we can do that, for he has delivered us from the domain or the dominion of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, that kingdom that is in the day of Jesus' power. So here we have verses 11, 12, and 13, all talking about power, really 10 also, because we need the power in order to be able to do it. So this is definitely a prayer for the anointed ones to know what to do, to know how to do it, and to be granted and strengthened with the power to accomplish it. Now, do we need some confirmation of that? Well, you're going to get it anyway, even if you say no. Look at Ephesians 6, the 10th verse. Now, here's a verse. In fact, we're going to look at both places in the Bible where it uses three words in about the same manner. And I'm reading this in the New King James. Finally, my brethren, just before he talks about the armor, spiritual armor, everything spiritual, be strong, how? In the Lord. Strong in the Lord. That's the only place our strength is our position in him. And in the power of his might. It's like Paul is just searching for more words to describe the magnitude. The three words that are used here, the word strong is literally means to be empowered or to be strengthened, and it comes from the root word of dunamis. So it's that power that makes possible. The word that's translated power here is that word we just looked at, kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. Again, that's that power to be demonstrated, to be seen, and it's an overpowering. And then the power of his might actually means, the word might is comes from a word ischus, I-S-C-H-U-S, which is a good example would be a champion weightlifter, somebody who is power beyond anything that you've seen before, like resurrection power. So we see that in Ephesians 6:10, and he tells us, be strong in the Lord. And that's a theme throughout what we're talking about today. So another one then, Ephesians 1:18 through 23. And I'm just going to read this and highlight a few words in it, because I couldn't figure out how to shorten this part of Paul's prayer for us in Ephesians 1. It says that the eyes of our understanding, he's praying, would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And I'm just going to say it this way, in the saints, you and I. And what is the exceeding greatness? So here we go in 19, the exceeding greatness of his dunamis power toward us who believe. We've seen this verse previously. According to the working of his mighty power. And so there is those three words again. The mighty power, the dunamis, the kratos, the ischus, all used together in this verse. And then verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's where Jesus said he was going to be. At the right hand of the power of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's powers that we would see in the natural world. And it's also powers that the dominion that the devil may try to express in his work even today. And it's above every name that is named. Now, this is a key phrase, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And then it says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to you and I, the church, which is his body. And look at this, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Saints, it's going to take us coming together as one to become the fullness of Jesus who has filled us all in all. Let me go back to Ephesians 6:10, though, and I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation. Listen to this one. Now, my beloved ones, and dear ones, that's the way we have to start and stay in all these verses that we're going. It's all because he loved us before we were even formed in our mother's wombs. He's loved us from eternity past. And he will continue to love us throughout eternity. Now, my beloved ones, I've saved the most important truths for the last. Be supernaturally. So again, we're talking about not this carnal physical world, but supernatural world. Things which can't be seen with our natural eyes. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union. Now you see how that's hyphenated, life union. That's who we are put as one with. And it goes on, through your life union with the Lord Jesus, stand victorious. We can stand that way. With the force of his explosive power flowing in you and through you. So do you begin to get a vision with this Passion Translation of 6:10 of who we are? And we haven't even got into the real heart of this yet. And you know, the natural reaction for many of us is, how could this possibly be? Well, I'm glad you asked. And let me just tell you, it's certainly not because we are a mere man. If we've been born from above, we are not mere men. We've been given the Spirit of God dwelling inside us in our new recreated spirit. Look at the sixth verse of the book of Philemon in Paul's letter to him. And again, the Passion Translation, only for time's sake. Paul says, I pray for you that the faith we share, faith that we saw what was given to us by God, may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing. Now, what could every good thing include? Well, it could include provision. It could include health. It could also include power. Of every good thing that belongs to you. In other words, that is your possession today. You hold that inside you. It that belongs to you, but where is that? Why is it? How can this be? Because we are what? In Christ. In Him. That is the reality that the Lord is wanting us to see today concerning His power. Now, go back and look at Colossians, the first chapter again, the 26th verse. He wants us to more effectively deepen our understanding of every good thing, and that includes His power, that already belongs to us in our position in Christ Jesus. Start in verse 26. He's talking about here what Paul is preaching. And he says, that is, he's preaching the mystery which has been hidden from past ages. It's not been hidden from us, but it's been hidden so it could be revealed to us, which is what he says. But that mystery has now been manifested to his saints. And can I just say, when we get revelation, you need to see that as you're experiencing the power of God at work in your life. I mean, certainly when you were born again, but revelation is taking something from that spiritual realm that we can't see and bringing it up and putting it in the light so that we receive it. And it takes the power of God to do that. Verse 27, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles. So riches. I want you to see that's how he views you and I who've been infused with his mighty power, which is, again, how's it happen? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I'm in him and he is what? In me. And that's what provides the hope of glory. And what do we know? When the glory clouds would come down, what was in that? Well, the glory of God was there, but what was with it? The power of God also. You remember that scripture in Revelation from a couple of weeks ago. 28, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. And here's the key part, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, I'm not saying we're all walking in it. I'm not saying everyone has the revelation knowledge yet, but that is the purpose of the teaching of the Word of God, to reveal this mystery so that we can become complete and thus fully equipped to do all the work just like Jesus did. He went about doing good and signs following. And then 29, Paul says, and for this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily in me. So Paul's saying, I'm not doing this on my own, but even I'm having to look to the power of God in me to bring this about. So you see, the Holy Spirit is at work in Paul. Paul was a born-again man, born with that death sentence from Adam. But what's happened now? He's become born again, has that new spirit, and he has that same spirit. And that again, saints, is the same Holy Spirit that works in you and I. And yes, the power that worked through Paul can be exhibited through us as we yield to it and understand our role in this. Now, I want to caution you, because in Galatians 2:20, it says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. So we don't need to see ourselves as in control. Who are we allowing to have control? It's going to be Jesus. So it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in this flesh, in this earthly house, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who delivered himself up for me. So again, we're just seeing in Christ. I've been crucified with him. Now I've been made alive with him. Ephesians 2, we've seen we've been made alive. We've been raised. We've been seated with him in that position of power. But it's all in him. And then here's the choice that we have to make. Verse 21, Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God. Now, what might we do to nullify God's grace? Well, the primary thing that Paul is talking about here is works. We try to get back and doing things in our own power. But we can also do that, nullify the grace in our life through our unbelief, through our disobedience, through never getting in the Word to really learn what's ours and growing and increasing. And Paul says, for me, it's that righteousness that if righteousness had come through the law, then Jesus would have died needlessly. So we know all this comes to us because of our position in him and the work of the cross. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians, and we want to look at the fourth chapter, and I'm going to start in the sixth verse. We're going to look at 6, 7, and then jump down to 10, but we're going to have a verse in between here. Really a couple of verses before we get through with these. In verse 6, God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. Now that'll ring a bell. We looked at creation when the Lord said, light be. And this is what that's referring to. God is the one who said, light, power will shine, will come out of darkness, and it'll overcome that darkness. And then, so light shall shine out of the darkness. For God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness. God is the one. I'm just adding that in for clarity's sake. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, light, power, a manifestation of that power. It can also be revelation. Oh, I see it. Like the light bulb comes on. All of that requires power, but it's that I want you to just always equate this light. We're going to see it with the life of Jesus, but I also want you to equate it with power. He is the one who said to your heart, light be. And he showed you that in the face of Jesus, in the face of the anointed one. Now, every time we talk about Christ, the anointed one, you need to think of it as the anointed one with his anointing. So it's Jesus who lives in you, but it's the anointed one with the anointing who lives in you. That's the anointing that we have. Now, verse 7. But we have this treasure. What treasure? Well, the treasure it's talking about is what it just says, who gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So this light we have in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power. So again, you see that we have light, we have the power, so that the surpassing greatness of this power may be of God and not of ourselves. Now, what's he saying here? God did this so it would be totally obvious to the most ignorant person that what occurs through Minton's hands for the Lord cannot be Minton. It's just impossible. He wanted it to be absolutely of no doubt so that he gets the glory, and that's what we ought to turn and give him as well. And then look down at verse... No, let's stop. I'm going too fast. Ephesians 3:20, in that part of the prayer, there's this verse which says, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think." Now, we like that. And we're going to come back to this verse in a couple of weeks to talk about it. But we like to stop there. But let me just continue it. It says, according to the power that works within us. So it's in proportion to that power that works within us. And who is the one who determines how much of that power works in us? You and I are. The Lord said what we would do, same and greater. That's his heart for us, but we're the ones who limit it. And then verse 21, and I want you to see this clearly. It says, to him be the glory, and look at this, to him, talking about the Father who's given us the Spirit, be the glory, and how is that glory going to come to the Father? In the church and in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. In the church means God's going to get glory from you and I because of that light which he's shown in our hearts to give us the revelation of this light and how we can walk in it. But where, how can we walk in it? In Christ Jesus. So it's not just us of ourselves. It's us and in Christ Jesus. And it's supposed to be that way to all generations. That's why the angels are going to look in heaven saying, hey, there's the ones it was written about. So forever you're going to be known, if we walk in this, as one of those who believed and allowed that light to shine in us. And then verse 10. In doing this, and 8 and 9 talks about some difficulties, but we always persevere, come through, we're not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus. That, and this is the key phrase, the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus might be manifested in our body, and I would also say through our body. Now, this also, because light and life can be equated, and when we're going to, in fact, let's just go to John 1 now, and look with me at the first 5 verses, because you're going to see that light and life are interchangeable. But this power also then applies to the Word, because Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, talking about Jesus. All things came into being by him. Can I just say it this way? By his Word. And apart from him, no thing, I'll just say it this way, no Word came into being that has not come into being, because it's all from Jesus. And then verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we can also say, in Jesus was light, and that light brought life to men. That's what we've seen previously. So those are interchangeable. And the light shines in the darkness. And New American Standard says, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We could say in other translations, it could not overpower it. So, saints, this is the light that the Father has shown in your and my hearts. This is the power that he's given us. And what is John 6:33? How does that verse close? The words that I have spoken, excuse me, it's 6:63, not 33. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, the spirit of power, and our life. And what do we know? If life and light can be interchanged and light's power, then there is a power that can come through via light through your life and the words that we speak. Oh, now do you see why we talk about Jesus being able to uphold all things by the word of his power? There is power in your words. Now don't forget First Corinthians 6:19, the Passion Translation. In fact, that's how the Passion starts this verse. Have you forgotten that your body is the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of light, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of God? That your body is the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you. In my spirit, my recreated, born again, born from above spirit, you don't belong to yourself any longer. Now that's part of the revelation we must get as well. And that is difficult for some. For the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary or your holy place. We host the very presence of God. So now, as we've gone through that and just built on the fact that we have become the devil's worst nightmare, confess this with me once more, and let's see if you sense a difference coming out your mouth this time. I am the devil's worst nightmare. He has no answer to the anointing or God's word that is on me. I am willing in the day of the Lord's power. It is time for my light to shine. And who shone that light in your heart? The Father did. The Father did. And remember now, we're going back to the prayer in Matthew. This is all about us fulfilling our role as ambassadors in His kingdom. The word of reconciliation, the power of reconciliation that is exerted. So let me just read a couple of verses to just remind you of this as it relates to our work in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. And might I just say, as Paul did, it's in demonstration of the power or signs and wonders. Philippians 2:13. Now let me just stop, because it's just like I heard some people saying there, this just can't be me. If that's the thoughts that's coming through you, back up and go through these again. All I have done is take the word of God and declare it through the Spirit to us today. This is who He says we are. We don't need to bring Him down to our level. We need to begin to see ourselves seated with Him at His level, seeing things as Jesus sees it, seeing ourselves as Jesus sees it. In Philippians 2:13, it's not a work that you're going to be able to do on your own. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do, or to work for His good pleasure. So it's His power toward me that's going to cause you to walk in these things as we do what? Receive it and believe it. Walk in faith. The righteous, the just shall live by faith. In 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul, and let me just remind you, in the first chapter of this 2 Timothy, Paul makes a statement where he says, "For we've not been given a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, the New American Standard says, of power, of love, and discipline. And literally what it's talking about is a disciplined mind. A mind that we've disciplined to come into agreement with the Word of God and see ourselves as He says. And then this is what He said to him. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is where? In Christ Jesus, which is where we are, and He is also in us. The Passion reads this way. Timothy, my dear son, live your life empowered by God's free-flowing grace, which is your true strength, found in the anointing of Jesus and your union with Him. Glory to God. He set us up for kingdom success. So as we close today, I've got five verses. And We're going to come back to most of them in the coming weeks. Some of them we've already talked about, but I'm going to just read through them. And I just want you to, before next week, begin to meditate on these in light of what we've already talked about today. Again, some of these we've actually read previously. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Now, let me just say, where does it start? It says in Jerusalem. So I might say, you're to be witnesses in your Jerusalem, which is the city, the dwelling place that the Lord has placed you in today. So all of us can fulfill that. 1 Corinthians 4:20, again, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but what? In power. In the power of his might, exceedingly abundantly beyond." James 5:16 from the New Living Translation talks about forgiveness in the first part of this verse, but I want you to see it. It's not just power through us laying hands on people. It says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person," that's you, you've been made righteous, "has what? Great power and produces wonderful results." And again, that's because of our standing that we have before the Father, which is solely in Jesus, which is why he's given us his name. So it's in that name of Jesus that we have that standing and why this is true. Romans 8:11, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you." Now that includes first fruits here on earth. It's obviously talking about the resurrection of our body when Jesus comes back and our glorified body. But here we get to participate in the first fruit. And then finally, in this one I just want you to really ponder, because you're going to see you have already begun to taste of the powers of the ages to come. Remember we talked about that earlier? And this is in Hebrews 6, 4 and 5. Now it's talking about people who walk in this and then fall away. But we're going to learn something about what it says, and that is we have already begun to partake in the powers of the age to come today. Notice the tense, the verb tense, in several of these verbs here, and I've underlined them on the notes. "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened," that's us, "and have tasted of the heavenly gift," that's us, "and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit," that's us, all past tense as we're born again. And then verse 5, "and have tasted the good word of God." Now, a lot of people say, yes, I've tasted the good word of God. But that verse doesn't stop there. Because what? The good word produces power that brings results. And here's what it says. "We have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come." Already. So we can't say, according to this scripture, that I've not seen the power at work. We'll talk about this in upcoming weeks. Saints, do you see who you are? Do you see why the devil fights so hard to keep born again people from the knowledge and from walking in the anointing? Do you understand now why he's referred to as the spirit of anti-Christ, anti-anointing? Because he has no answer. We are the worst nightmare. When he realized, oh my goodness, from this one Jesus, now I've got all these people with that same anointing. My days are numbered. He knew he had no answer. And that's what we need to see today. Unstoppable. He has no answer to the anointing or to the word that we speak under that anointing. It is our time to let our light shine, to let the power flow in us and through us. Bless you. I trust that this is ministered to you. Go back and if you don't want to listen to it again, go through your notes and just meditate on these scriptures. Mutter them to yourselves until they become a reality in your eyes. And in the coming weeks, we're going to begin to talk more about how do I get the miracles? What am I going to do? What do I do that may limit it? How can I change that? We've just got so much more that the Lord wants us to see. You are the anointed of the Lord. The Father has shown the light of His glory in the face of Jesus in our hearts. That power has been given to us in Christ Jesus. We love you. We bless you, and we'll see you again next week.